preparation passage for the morning lesson from Rabash's Social Writings article concerning above reason. A person has qualities that his parents bequeathed to their children, and he has qualities that he acquired from the society, which is a new possession. And this comes to him only through bonding with the society and the envy he feels towards the friends when he sees that they have better qualities than his own. That motivates him to acquire their good qualities, which he doesn't have and of which he is jealous. Thus, through the society, he gains new qualities that he adopts by seeing that they are at a higher degree than his, and he is envious of them. This is the reason why now he can be greater than when he didn't have a society, since he acquires new powers through the society.
We already said many times that a person is born as an animal, and it all depends on how is he educated, and if his education in this world, according to how he is educated, he absorbs from the environment through envy, power, honor, especially wanting to extract, acquire all kinds of means to succeed in this world. And if he has a preparation for spiritual development, then he reaches the environment where he is able to acquire from it new qualities, spiritual qualities. But if he develops forcefully in a corporeal environment, because he has the instinctive urge to learn from the environment and succeed and acquire values from them, then the education by the spiritual environment is a different one. There, it happens only to the extent that he nullifies himself. And so he has a free choice whether to absorb spiritual values from the environment or not. So to the extent that he nullifies himself and can see the environment as greater than himself, then he does all kinds of ploys to see it that way, and he absorbs discernments from them, values, greatness of the goal, importance, and that's how he advances. Therefore, all of the spiritual success happens, not just dependent on the environment, but how much a person uses the environment, that is, annulling oneself and appreciating the environment, how much he can bear seeing that they are greater than him, because that envy humiliates him. And here he needs to realize that it's actually for his own benefit to see them as greater. And if he's capable of that, then he advances. In the end of the day, he has to enjoy facing the ego and stepping over it in order to acquire spiritual values and advance according to the spiritual goal. Therefore, a kind of progress in the corporeal environment is really opposite to what happens in the spiritual environment. And if you can succeed in the first one, doesn't mean that you can succeed in the latter. This already has to do with man's choice. We can see that from our experience in life, in regular life of this world, that a person does not change. All the qualities one is born with remain, and they only take on a certain subtle correction in terms of what he uses more or less. But in the end of the day, the way he is born is how he lives and dies. And this is something that is tangibly visible. Nothing can really influence us. And in fact, the society can't do that, doesn't also have the goal of actually changing the human. There are no means for that. The change can only be if we have qualities that are meant to change, which are not of this world. They're spiritual qualities, of which we only have a small shimo recollection, and there is a means, which is the environment through which I can draw to that shimo the light that will take care of it and actualize it correctly. And then I take on spiritual qualities, additional qualities. Just as I have my corporeal body, through which I feel it and its environment and the entire world and my life. Similarly, from the Rishimo in me, I can beget my spiritual body on my own by the light that reforms, growing it, and feel the spiritual environment and the spiritual life. That is an additional upper reality, more than what I have already, which is called this world. And all of it is by developing it above reason. Why? Because my reason is always in the will to receive, and I cannot convince myself while in my will to receive to develop spiritually. Only if I raise myself, understanding that there is no choice, that the environment forces me through the study, the guidance, when I finally hear through the effort, the light that reforms gives me that hearing. And then I can force myself, literally tie myself, my ego, my corporeal inclinations, and begin to work against them. And then I have to be accountable to why am I doing that. Won't help me if I just talk about it. I have to develop such a desire that draws the light. And therefore, here, I'm in dependency on the environment that can give me the additional deficiency. And to the extent that I can lower myself, bow before the environment, act out, literally play as a little one, hear what everyone says, restrict myself, subjugate myself. Accordingly, I'll be able to receive from them higher values, so as to actualize them, which will require the light that reforms, and thus I'll be able to advance. All these actions that I do against my natural desire are called above reason. For now, after that, there's also above reason in the spiritual sense. But in the meantime, as we work in the group, that's how we need to do it. Yes.
A student is asking, what are the good qualities in the friends that I'm supposed to be envy of and to adopt? What kind of qualities are we talking about?
Friends are those parts of my soul that I connect with from my part of the soul, which I call the spark, and their parts are called sparks as well, and we have to connect them to a single vessel. And that's why a friend to me is the same spark that exists in everyone of those that are with me in the general group. And it's not his body or his corporeal characteristics, only the spark is what I need. And so, from the spark, when I see how much he's capable of lowering oneself, work towards them, appreciate the society, appreciate the goal, the path, accordingly, if I feel envy, and it's a positive envy, not that I delete the other or disrespect the other. On the contrary, I actually learn from him as a greater one, which is unpleasant, seeing the others as great and oneself as smaller. And they advance and I am lagging behind. But if a person is capable of that, then he advances. Our entire problem is subjugation for now. And those who take pride, those who want to show themselves in control in some way, disregarding the honor of the teacher, the friends, that is simply preventing oneself from advancing.
Not in the world of the sparks, what is missing in the world of the sparks, that the corporeal world had to be created.
The world of the sparks has the first degree of the spiritual ladder, yet there's no way to enter that level, because all the sparks exist in the will to receive in order to receive. That if there were no corporeal characters, meaning this picture we're living in, as though it exists, without it, we would not have the ability to activate the sparks. By the bodies, by connecting, by building this life and getting confused in it, and yet drawing closer to each other. Through that, we activate the sparks, and as Rabash writes, until they merge to one big flame.
So the sparks by themselves did not have the ability to perform actions of connection? That's
how?
What I'm asking.
So I'm telling you, the sparks are in a will to receive in order to receive, meaning a corporeal one, the lowest possible. If that corporeal desire that lowest possible desire would not have these corporeal depictions and characters, we wouldn't be able to do anything with the spark, because the sparks would just be caged in the ego, and that's it.
But in the breaking, there was the breaking of the masach, there are also vessels of bestowal.
The sparks themselves are broken vessels of bestowal.
So they have the possibility to be corrected. What do they need our world for?
They can only activate the will to receive in bestowing in order to receive. These sparks that exist in us are actually worse than the regular will to receive. That's why it's called Adam Bilial, meaning that the man who is not corrected is actually worse than the beast. And we see that this addition of the human over the animal is actually to his detriment, because he corrupts his life and the world all the time in competition. And what's good about it? And these are the sparks working that way. It's the will to receive on the human level.
So the reason for the shattering was in order to bestow, in order to receive?
The purpose of the shattering was in order to integrate the holiness with the shell in a way that the holiness is under the shell.
No, that I understand, but what caused the shattering? That there was, suddenly there was the desire to bestow in order to receive, and that's why it was broken? It breached the first restriction?
Yes. Yeah. And the fact that we are in the corporeal world that is depicted to us in this way, this theater, it helps us reach a state where we influence the sparks through the bodily action, when we convene, when we connect, when we do something together, we actually activate the surrounding lights. All the surrounding lights exist between the corporeal level and the spiritual level. And the more we organize ourselves on the corporeal level, the surrounding lights shine on us from the spiritual level downwards. And that's why we have the opportunity to exit this state and enter independently to the ladder of degrees. Maybe someone is capable, together with the reading, to also hear about the wisdom of Kabbalah itself and think of what forms of connection are between us are discussed. Okay? Yeshut, Abba Ve'ima, going up, going down, farther, closer, what's happening, Chokhmah, Gal, Vak, Zat, etc. What forms of connection? And it doesn't matter how much we go wrong or not. And what's important is to always search what forms of connection between us are discussed here right now. Please.
Continuing with therefore, the upper half of each degree remains unknown, like Pratsuf Atik, where the bottom hay does not descend from their Nikvei Naim in Gadlut as well. This is so because although in Gadlut they bring back the Achap of the Kelim to them that were missing, they still do not extend Gar of lights due to the Baram Hay, on which there was Tzimtzum Aleph, first restriction. It is hidden in them to not receive Chokhmah. Therefore, they always remain in the light of Chassadim, pure air. However, only the bottom half of each degree extends the gar of lights at the time of Gadlut, when the Yud comes out of their Avir, air, and they return to being or light of Chokhmah and Gal. Because of it, it is considered that the Patsufim of Gal that extend in the five Patsufim of Atzilut are regarded as merely Vak of Chokhmah and remain deficient of Gal of Chokhmah. This is so because the Gal of each Patsuf do not receive Chokhmah, but Vak of each Patsuf. For this reason, there is only Vak of Chokhmah in these Mochin. It was said that 6 upper days impart upon the Torah Zeranpin, and not more. Zeranpin has only 6 days Vak of Mochin from the upper Mochin. But the others, Gar of Binah, are hidden. Gar of Mochin are concealed. They are hidden even in the Patsufim above him, since only the Vak of the upper Patsufim have Mochin. Item 42. But in the essay Bereshit, it was said that that hidden Holy One engraved a carving in his intestines in Bina of the Hidden One, the Nukva of Atik, who is dotted in the embedded dot, the point of Malchut of Tzimtzum Aleph, which rose to Bina and took Achap of Zeranpin, took Achap of Arich Anpin out of his Rosh. That carving that was engraved in Bina was engraved and hidden in her, as one who hides everything behind one key. And the whole of that one key is hidden in one palace. And even though everything is hidden in that palace, the key is the most important because that key closes and opens. Explanation. The Holy Hidden One, Arich Anpin, who is called the Holy Chokhmah Stima'ah, engraved a carving of fleck of Achab of Kelim in his intestines, in Bina, of one hidden one, the internality of Nukva of Atik. Dotted means the correction of the Masach for a Zivug. At the embedded dot means in a circle, in Malchut of Tzimtzum Aleph, the middle point on which there was the first restriction. This is different from the Masach that is set up with Ateret Yesod, as is with the Vak of all the Pratzufim, since a Masach of Ateret Yesod is called the point of settling, and not by the name the middle point. It is so because Arich Anpin is engraved and becomes deficient of his Gar through the internality of his superior, Nukva of Atik, who is set up with the Barem Hei in her Nikvei Einaim. It was said that that engraving that was carved in Bina was carved and hidden in her, as one who hides everything behind one key. A key is Malchut of Ateret Yesod, set up in every Vak of the Partsufim of Atzilut. This is so because in Partsufim of Vak, the Yud comes out of their Avir, air, and they become Or, light, meaning that the Masach descends from their Nikveh Einaim to the Peh and brings the Achap back to the degree. At that time, once they have a Achap of Kelim, they acquire Gar of Lights too. For this reason, the Masach in Nikveh Einaim is regarded as a key, because it closes the Partsuf from illumination of Gar while it is in Nikveh Einaim, and reopens it with lights of Gar when it descends back to its place, to the Peh. For this reason, it is called the opening of the eyes. It was said that there is concealment in her, as one who hides everything behind one key. It is so because although Atik himself was engraved in a Barem Hei, the carving that was engraved in Atik in Arich Anpin by Atik is unlike the carving of Atik himself. Since Arich Anpin was carved through a Miftacha, a key, Ateret Yesod, lacking the Malchut, it follows that only Ateret Yesod governs in Nikveh Einaim of Arich Anpin, and not the Barem Hei. Thus, the air of Arich Anpin is known because it is set up with a key, but the air of Atik is not known because the malchut of the middle point is in him, and she does not extend gar in him. It is not perplexing that they are saying here that there are galgalta enaim in Arich Anpin, and we said above that there is only achap in him, half of the bottom ketel, since with regard to Atik, he has only achap, but with regard to himself, he is galgalta enaim, devoid of achap. It was said that the whole of that key is hidden in one palace. This is so because Arich Anpin emanated to Upper Abba Ve'ima and engraved for Abba Ve'ima too, lacking gar of lights and a half of kelim. Also, they are the palace in which the lights of gar were hidden, gar of neshama, gar of chaya, and gar of yechida, and Arich Anpin extended the bottom hay of Atik into this palace too, as well as himself, who is the key. And even though everything is hidden in that palace, the heart of everything is in that key. The palace, Bina, is a palace for Chokhmah, in which there are Gar and Vak. The bottom hay governs her Gar, and the Miftacha, Ateret Yasod, governs her Vak. And although everything is hidden in that palace, even the bottom hay from Atik, still the heart of everything is in that key, in Ateret Yasod. This is so because Vak of Bina, Yeshut, Vak without Rosh of Gar, are the only ones on which the concealment is discerned. But in Gar of Bina, Abba Ve'ima, where there is the bottom hay, Nikve Enaim, Gar is not deficient there, because the chasadim of Upper Abba Ve'ima are as important as Chokhmah and Gar. Also, the closing and opening are done by the bottom hay Nikve Enaim. For when she rises to Nikve Enaim, she closes the mochin of Gar, because then the patsuf remains deficient of Achap of Kelim and Gar of Lights. And when she descends from Nikve Enaim to the Peh, she opens the mochin of Gar to illuminate in the Pratzuf. For then she brings back the Achap of Kelim and Gar of Lights to the Pratzuf. Thus only the bottom hay herself closes and opens. But since the opening of mochin is not in Gar, but only in Zat, in whom the bottom hay does not govern, but Ateret Yesod, the Miftacha, and the Gar of each degree, where the bottom hay rules, always remain in the unknown avil. The closing and opening are attributed to the Miftacha and not to the bottom hay.
This means that if we want to somehow move closer to understanding the Zohar, we have to imagine ourselves the relations between us and how they rise or descend in the intensity of connection according to our actions, to our efforts. And this network is already well depicted in Tess, which is Ten Sfirot, Ket Chokhmah Bina Zaran Pin Malchut, or Atik Arich Anpin is the Keter, Abba Ve'ima Chokhmah Bina, then Zon Zaran Pin Malchut, and we are connected and included in that network. And the clearer that network becomes, that means we rise higher. The less clear it is, the lower we are. And that's how we work. So our entire work is about how to further awaken that connection of Ten Sfirot where we exist, and then everyone sees himself as a Malchut that operates all the Ten Sfirot, until the Ten Sfirot really take on the final form, the form of Insof. And this is basically our work. This is why both Tess and the Zohar were especially written in such a way that they awaken us to this observation that we are in the Malchut of the system, and from it we want to awaken the entire system. In this way they were written, from our observation. So, again, we're in a network of connection between us. We have to awaken that network. And then everyone will be impressed by it, excited by it, and then he'll learn how to research it, and then how to activate it by himself.
The student from Rehovot is asking, how treating others well, we can bring contentment to the upper force.
It's one and the same. I can't say. Imagine that all the creatures are sons, as it says. You are sons to the Creator, your God. So, if you do good to the son, then surely by that you pleasure the dad. That's it. It's like the Creator told Job about the city of Nineveh. Jonah. The prophet Jonah, about the city of Nineveh. See what a great, big, beautiful city, 250,000 people, something like that. And how can I treat them any other way, any differently? So if you treat them with love and save them, then by that you will give me contentment. The Creator, he doesn't have by what to give contentment. He doesn't have the kli to give contentment. The means between us, between each one of us and the Creator, that is the whole of reality. And first and foremost, these are human beings. Therefore, the dissemination of the method of correction, treating the entire world, that is the most precious action that is given to us, and we have to focus on it. Besides correcting ourselves for us to know how to act,
how this rule is expressed in dissemination, the method of correction?
That everything that I do it in order to give contentment to my Maker, to the Creator. In order to give Him contentment, I have to express it in my attitude, my treating of the whole of reality toward people, in which the still vegetative inanimate is included. And in order to take care of people, I have to correct myself, and therefore I turn to self-correction. Meaning, there's nothing else to do in this world. This is the reason for which we're in this worst possible world. There's no worse degree than this one. But to engage and bestow. This is the only reason for this world. And to undergo all the stages until we reach complete adaptation or complete resemblance with the Creator, and that's called to cleave on to Him. And our evil inclination, the correction of the evil inclination which was given to us to begin with, to be corrected by the Torah that has the reforming light, and we have to perform different actions to draw that light that corrects us, and this is how we advance. This is actually all the actions that we have to do. We have to try and bestow, take such actions of bestowal by which we draw the reforming light, the greatest possible reforming light over ourselves in each and every possible state. And this light corrects different desires and states and so on. That's none of our concern. In the meantime, we're incapable of talking about it, but for it should correct us. That's its own concern. We simply have to give the light the opportunity, and that opportunity is up to us. Okay? Yes?
About bringing contentment to one's maker. A student asked you before, and you told him about that. You told him the Creator has no clue to feel such contentment, therefore everything is done between us through the others.
Through others.
So how does it work? If the Creator is the general law of nature,
you let the Creator reveal in that very network that you discover between yourself and others. You have to prepare the vessels for Him.
And in those vessels He feels contentment?
Yeah, of course. Toward all creatures, that is His contentment.
But it's a law. How can a law feel anything? What, can gravity feel something?
Who told you it's a law? I feel that as a result, I give Him contentment. I feel. What He feels, I have no idea. That's how the feeling in the network is revealed to me. When I realize it, when I put it together, revive it, I feel that in that network, besides the light that fills the vessels, that there is a upper thought that is revealed there, and I feel how I pleasure it. I really give it pleasure. That it is my imagination, for sure. But for the time being, I can't achieve anything higher than that. The Creator in total is Bo'e, come and see. That is what we attain. So the only thing that we can do is take different actions by which we give some kind of pleasure, some kind of benefit to others. And again, now the question, why are we taking these actions? Because it is the commandment of the upper. Where actually, I don't care about the others. I don't even want to know them. I have no relation or attitude toward the other. But because there is the higher force that obligates me and explains to me that specifically through these actions I can give Him contentment, therefore I turn to others. And from here, it becomes clear that if I perform actions of bestowal toward others without there being the intention of giving contentment to the Creator, then these actions are simply a lie. These are actions that bring us to the very opposite, which is destruction, because the Creator has created everything for His sake. Meaning, in order to reach Him, and therefore to simply start engaging in different nice things like they wanted to do in Russia or in the kibbutz, by that we only come to destruction. And so, Israel Oraita in Kutcha Brichu, we must keep it. In every action, Israel, that's me, Oraita, is the right connection that I want to perform between the reforming light and the whole of humanity, from those closest to me to the farthest, And the Kucha Brichu, that is what is revealed as the comprehensive within this network. So the realization are the relation or is in the relations between people. That which performs it is their forming light. I'm the one who awakens it. And all that in order to let the Creator reveal, because this is the pleasure which he enjoys. So, you can't run from the public, from humanity, or on a lesser degree, the group, or on a lesser degree, the 10, and so on.